Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Millionaire's Deception by Wendy Byrne, narrated by Verla Bond. Chapter 1. He walked into Crossroads Cafe, looking like sex and sin, with a chaser of trouble. Chiseled cheeks covered with stubble, a black t-shirt tucked into worn jeans hung low on his hips, a weathered leather jacket tossed over his shoulder. He looked like he'd ridden something, or someone, hard over the last few days. Frankie peeked out the window and spotted the Harley parked in front, and couldn't decide if she was disappointed or intrigued. A steamy hunk of bad boy was not what she needed in her life right now. But it looked as if she didn't have much choice when he ambled inside and gave her a panty-melting smile. "What would you like?" She noticed the long, dark lashes first, but tried not to look at his eyes, because she knew she'd find a mischievous sparkle that said, "You want some of this, don't you?"
"Some coffee would be great."
He gave her another one of those smiles.
"And maybe a menu."
Duh, of course he came into a cafe to eat. A handsome face, and she leaked brain cells. She plunked a menu in front of him and contemplated scooting away to avoid the deadly vortex of maleness. But before she could make her getaway, he touched her hand.
"Unless you want to give me a recommendation."
"Well."
Again with the soulful looks. Geez, would the guy knock it off?
"I hope you like Italian, because that's our specialty. Anything from frittata to lasagna to sausage and peppers."
"Italian, huh? I wouldn't have figured that with the name Crossroads Cafe."
When he shrugged, his shoulders moved in a way that every muscle was visible. Yowza, she needed a fan to keep the pheromones from exploding around her. He examined the menu for a few seconds.
"A mushroom frittata with home-style potatoes."
"Anything else?"
"Unless you want to sit down and chat."
He gave her one of those heated looks that squirmed through her until she wanted to beg for mercy. And she almost slid into the seat next to him. Bad. Bad. Miss Francesca. Not getting laid in a while was clearly affecting her rational mind. It didn't hurt that he was the only guy under 60 who'd walked through that door in a long time. The town of Wilcox needed a serious gentrification if it hoped to fight the takeover from those slimeballs at Probst. Which reminded her, she had a stack full of protest signs waiting to be assembled in the back. Volunteers were coming in around 4, and it was already a little after 3. But it appeared Mr. I Dare You to Resist Me had other ideas to occupy her time until then. Of course, that might very well be her imagination on overdrive. She hovered outside the booth, ready to do the smart thing and bolt. Instead, she decided to play with fire and engage him in conversation. "What brings you to Wilcox?" Could she get any lamer? Apparently not, since it's what her shriveled-up brain came up with for conversation. At least she didn't slide into the booth next to him and ask him his astrological sign.
"Road trip. Thought I'd take the bike out and see a bit of the country."
Dead silence filled the air.
"Say something, you dolt."
She was Italian, born in Italy, in fact. Engaging in conversation was something she excelled at. She opted to take the intelligent way out of the situation. "I'll get going on that frittata." Phew, at least she had an excuse to hole up in the kitchen and collect her thoughts. Get a hold of yourself. Men like him weren't attracted to women like her. Francesca Antonia Ritacco was the lanky, frizzy-haired, braces-wearing geek who always smelled like spaghetti sauce. In fact, rather than call her Frankie like her parents did, The boys in high school called her TT to remind her of what she didn't have. Luckily, in the intervening 10-plus years, she lost the braces, learned how to tame her thick, curly hair, filled out, more in some areas than others. She glanced at her chest and sighed. Life goes on, as her mother would say. She cracked open a few eggs, whipped them to the right consistency, threw in some spices, and tossed them into the pan with the simmering mushrooms and onion, and topped it off with some Parmesan cheese. Then she let the custard start to gel before inserting the cast iron pan into the oven to brown the top. She threw some cut-up potatoes into a pan and allowed them to cook to crispiness before she made her way back to his booth, steaming plate in hand. His dark hair fell slightly onto his forehead while he texted as she delivered his order. Being a server since she was old enough to carry a plate, she'd learned to be unobtrusive and slid the food on the table before turning to make her escape. When he grasped her arm and looked at her with his sultry brown eyes, she nearly jumped out of her skin. Being this skittish wasn't her normal reaction, but today had been different from the minute he'd walked in the door.
"Is it always this empty here?"
She glanced at the clock. "I'm not expecting anyone until about 3:30 or so." He held out his hand.
"Rafe."
Reluctantly, she grasped his hand. She didn't get to finish her side of the introduction before Dustin walked inside.
"Hey, TT, how's it shaking?" "Your name is TT?"
Rafe looked between her and Dustin and raised his eyebrows. A shiver wormed its way through her as his gaze zeroed in on her breasts. "Nickname from long ago." She turned her frustration toward Dustin. "What do you want?"
"Is that any way to greet a former fiancé?"
He gave her a smooch on the cheek and winked.
"Besides, I came to help."
She rolled her eyes. Now she was really in trouble. Dustin loved to butt his nose into her business, and with a strange man paying attention to her, it was like an open invitation. "Back room. Everything is set up by the desk."
"Yes, ma'am."
He saluted and strolled toward the kitchen.
"I assume the engagement ended badly?"
Rafe's eyebrow quirked and an easy grin spread across his face. This guy was trouble with a capital T. She could feel it, see it, smell it as it wafted around him like the lure of fresh bread coming out of the oven, eating one slice turned into six, and before she knew it, she'd be 3 pounds heavier, but wouldn't regret 1 minute of the indulgence. She frowned. "You might say that. We were incompatible." He thought getting married meant he could still keep a girlfriend or two on the side. The whole Dustin fiasco had been a blessing in disguise. "I wasn't exactly seeing it that way." He laughed.
"Looks to me like you dodged a bullet."
"My mama didn't think so. She thought every nice Italian girl should be married before she was 30, and preferably a virgin." She couldn't help but chuckle. She was hoping for some grandbabies before she died.
"Your mom's dead?"
His gaze narrowed as he scrutinized her, a hint of pity in his eyes. "She and my dad died in a car accident over 2 years ago." She gulped down the perpetual lump in her throat as she walked away. Why was she telling her life story to a perfect stranger? Would someone please enlighten her, or hit her over the head with something, or perhaps superglue her lips? Anything to help this incessant rambling brought about by one sizzling hot male. Rafe examined the interior of the small cafe. Not what he expected at all. The terracotta floor and the fresco painting on the walls paired with the red plaid curtains on the windows brought the feeling of Italy to small-town Iowa. From the dining area, the kitchen area was visible through a well-designed archway. Despite the drab exterior, the interior was warm and welcoming. From what he could gather after a superficial observation, it appeared to be the local hangout. According to his intel, the average resident was close to retirement age, which worked well for the job he had to do for Probst. People of that age wanted to move south and live the good life. Most of the younger folks in town left years ago when the plant closed its doors. Fortunately for him, that fit into his money-making scheme perfectly, starting with the Frankie Ritacco guy who owned this place. From what he'd learned, if Frankie caved, the rest of the town would fall right in line. They didn't call Rafe the closer for nothing. He got paid for getting the job done, and gobbling up this town in its picturesque setting along the Mississippi was part of the plan. A cool $6 million was his take for getting Frankie to accept the offer, which suited him perfectly. It added to the war chest he'd accumulated over the 10 years since he'd graduated from college. Not knowing where his next meal was coming from, or when, while growing up, had been the great motivator behind his success, as well as that of his twin brothers. Being looked on with either pity or disdain had led him to take charge as an adult. Now that he could control his own destiny, he intended it to be exactly how he wanted it to be. Although he and his brother were estranged, he'd kept tabs on Luke's professional progress. After completing a stint in the Special Forces, Luke had made his mark in the forensic accounting field. With a healthy bank account, a New York loft, and all the finer things in life, Rafe had set his sights on accumulating as much money as he could. As far as he was concerned, the more money, the better. He needed a cushion so large that it ensured that no matter what happened, he wouldn't have to worry about money ever again. And closing high-level deals like this was what he was meant to do. He couldn't imagine doing anything else. The guys Probst sent before him didn't know how to read the situation. They waltzed into town in their Brooks Brothers suits and ties, flashing money and hoping to seal the deal. Instead, they got run out of town by a guy named Frankie wielding a shotgun. Dumbasses. He, on the other hand, knew the secret to getting things to fall his way. In order to discover the Achilles heel that would force the town to break his way, he had to gather his own intel. The only way to do that was to observe them in their natural environment like a hunter stalking prey. And the smoking hot waitress by the nickname of Titi, with legs that seemed to go on forever, wasn't a bad way to start his observation. He wished she weren't wearing a pair of Levi's so he could see those legs in the flesh. And man, that long, dark, curly hair of hers practically made him salivate. "How is the frittata?" the woman in question asked while she looked at him with the most amazing brown eyes. Between her eyes and the incredible mass of hair, he wasn't sure which was sexier. He forced himself not to focus on the fact that Titi filled out her red t-shirt with Crossroads Cafe emblazoned across her chest quite nicely. "If that Parmesan cheese you put in there were any fresher, I'd swear I was in Italy." He glanced around as another group marched through the door. "I'd ask you to sit down, but it looks like you have your hands full." "Carl will be in shortly to take over kitchen duties." She smiled, and her eyes seemed to twinkle. "He and my pops used to compete as to who was the best cook."
"Who won?"
"My pops, of course. No one could make lasagna like he did." He felt a little bad when she got misty-eyed and drew in a shaky breath. She clearly loved her parents, and based on the tremble of her lips, missed them as well. Still, he had to wonder why she'd stuck around this rinky-dink town after they died. Getting back with her ex-fiancé didn't seem to be high on her list of priorities. So what was the draw for her? Clearly, she'd worked at this place for a while. And since Frankie was the owner, Rafe couldn't help but wonder how much influence Titi might have over the guy. He also had to consider the possibility she was involved with Frankie. That might explain why she'd stick around a town that was destined for change. Why did the idea that she and Frankie were intimately involved make Rafe grind his teeth? He dismissed the errant thought and concentrated on the task at hand, culling for information. How long have you worked here? Getting some insight could only make this whole thing a slam dunk in quick order. And it would be a nice win-win for him if he got to spend a little quality time with Titi. Maybe invite her back to his hotel room and let nature take its course. I think forever. She ran her fingers through her hair and settled into the bench seat across from him.
Ever think about doing anything else?
Keep her talking. That was his agenda right now. The more intel he got, the better and quicker he could get the hell out of this podunk town and head back to his comfort zone in Manhattan. He might very well go insane if he had to stay here more than 24 hours. Yes and no. Went to college, but working here is in my blood.
You Italian?
She bit off a sexy laugh. Born there. Francesca Antonia Ritacco. Frankie, for short.
Oh, holy hell. Wait a damn minute.
The implausibility of it hung in the air. This was the gun-toting monster who'd fended off and terrorized anyone Probst sent her way? He couldn't get that lucky, could he? Hells yeah. Of course he could. He barely resisted doing a fist bump to celebrate his good fortune. Schmoozing her into submission wouldn't be a hardship at all. Thinking about X-rated activities with the person he needed to persuade would only help his cause. Seduction would be the way to play this. She was attracted to him. He was attracted to her. What would be the harm of letting his libido take charge and get the deal done? His smile broke free. This would work in record time. Rafe was the closer, after all, and he was even better at this particular game. Could this job get any easier? Sweet-talking beautiful women, until they pretty much did anything he wanted them to, was another one of his specialties. Can you say piece of cake? Chapter 2.
Since I'll be hanging around the area for a day or two, what's there to do?
Rafe asked with his panty-melting smile firmly in place. Frankie barely resisted the urge to fan herself. Was he flirting with her? Was he going to ask her out?
You do know you're in Iowa, right? If you're into gambling, there's a...
He stopped her with a hand to her lips. Yowza. There was something about a man's slightly calloused fingers on sensitive parts of the body that was a huge turn-on. Then again, maybe she was thinking about sensitive areas other than her lips.
I'm not into gambling. Besides, you can pretty much do that anywhere across the country. I was thinking of something unique to do.
His eyes were mesmerizing her. They had to be. Maybe he was some kind of hypnotist, because, try as she might, she didn't want to stop looking at him.
If you like outdoor stuff, which it seems like you might, she flapped her hands in the air like some kind of crazy Italian woman. Yes, the legend was true. Italians spoke with their hands. Tie her hands behind her back, and she probably couldn't utter a sound. Bad to think about tying when in the presence of his hotness.
I mean, you look like...
Holy crapola, she'd dug herself into a hole. She didn't want him to think she found him attractive. Did she?
Rock climbing. The words spurted out, finally. For some odd reason, it gave her a sense of victory.
I've done some rock climbing. Sounds like fun.
There's a place near Monticello called Indian Bluffs. It's not far from here. It's a little more private than many of the other places around. Finally, she'd reestablished her talking rhythm.
Do you want to come with me?
Was it her imagination, or did his voice become more gravelly? She opened and closed her mouth several times before the words tumbled out.
I have a restaurant to run.
You give yourself time off, don't you?
She drew in a breath. If she wanted to stave off the takeover of Wilcox, she needed to be strategic, and she needed to be at the top of her game. Getting drawn into a fling with a knock-your-socks-off handsome stranger wasn't going to help in that regard.
Not possible.
The words that spurted from her mouth were not the ones circling her brain. That was so not a good idea. But a gal needed a little fun while the big bad Probst wolf was knocking at her door, didn't she? She gulped as she suddenly noticed the place was filled to the brim with people. Where had her head been? Being regulars, they'd already started to help themselves, but getting distracted wasn't something that normally happened to her.
I'd better get back to work.
She turned around and spotted the book club ladies coming inside. Making an escape was foremost on her mind now. No doubt the ladies would zone in on Rafe. Really, could he have a cooler name? And try to push the two of them together. Ever since her mother's death, they felt honor-bound to find a suitable husband for her, and every stranger who waltzed into town was subjected to the third degree. It didn't help that there weren't any eligible men remotely close to her age in town, as they'd all left to find work several years ago. If she were really lucky, they'd start a loud discussion, since Betty was hard of hearing and insisted she didn't need a hearing aid. About 50 Shades of Grey again. Jeez, could this day get any worse? Rafe grasped her hand as she started to pull away. He'd spotted her interest in him, and that could only help with his plan. If he could discover her weaknesses, he could finalize this deal. There was no way in hell sticking around this town was something she wanted to do long term. As far as he could tell, this was a place for a bunch of gray hairs, not a beautiful, vivacious young woman. No one was crazy enough to want to stick around all these old people.
Seems like Crossroads Cafe might be the Mecca center of Wilcox, Iowa.
He wanted to keep her talking. Maybe getting one person on his side for this whole buying the town thing was the way to turn the tide. And cozying up to her wasn't a chore. Frankie sucked in the corner of her lip, and all sorts of X-rated fantasies whispered through his brain. Wow, he needed to get his mind in control on this assignment. Small towns are like that. You can't get away with anything without everybody knowing about it. Gossiping is part of the culture. She gave him a mischievous smile. Like right now, the book club ladies in the corner no doubt have stopped focusing on the finer points of 50 Shades of Grey and have homed in on why I'm spending so much time talking to you. The next logical conclusion they'll come to is that we'll be doing it on the back of your Harley by the end of the night, with me wearing nothing but a striped necktie. He choked on the coffee he'd just swallowed. For the first time in nearly 10 years, words failed him. No doubt because the visual she described was way too tempting to dismiss. He shook off the thoughts, albeit reluctantly.
So that's what little old ladies do in their spare time, talk about sex? And here I thought it was gardening.
They're all widowed and alone and like to relive the good old days. And unfortunately for me, also seem to be fixating on my love life by finding me a man, she tisked. Pay them no mind. They mean well.
Don't look now, but one of them is headed our way.
She brushed an errant chunk of hair away from her eyes. Oh, crap. I knew I stayed here too long. What does she look like?
White-haired, blue flowery dress.
That's Louisa. Don't take the bait if she asks you if you like sex toys. She shook her head. He coughed.
Did you say sex toys?
She didn't get to respond before the woman ambled to the table and sat down next to Rafe.
I hope you're a lawyer who's going to help us skedaddle those Probst turds. The last group they sent frayed the remainder of my patience.
I'm not, I can see you're hot on our girl here. She's quite a catch, and can cook like a dream.
The woman glanced at his empty plate.
But it appears you've already figured that out.
Thanks, Louisa, but Rafe is just passing through town, Frankie said. The white-haired woman raised her eyebrows.
Rafe is a very sexy name. Have you ever read 50 Shades of Grey?
No, he hasn't, Louisa. Frankie pouted and placed her hands on her hips. He graced them with his deal-closing smile.
Maybe I have.
Okay, so that was a little bit of a stretch. Maybe he'd download it when he checked into a hotel room tonight and see what all the fuss was about.
Frankie pointed to the table of ladies. Oh, look, I think Betty is in need of some help with the signs.
Louisa slid back out of the booth.
Well, it was nice chatting with you, Rafe.
She rolled her eyes and giggled after the woman left. There was something very likable about Frankie. It was a shame he was going to have to figure out her weaknesses so he could take advantage of her.
Can't say I didn't warn you about Louisa. The rest of them are equally straightforward. She shrugged. Maybe it has something to do with old age.
He needed to get her back on track in order to probe a little further for his cause.
What's all this talk about probed scum? Is it some kind of environmental crusade?
He thought he might have oversold his naivete for a second or two when she scrunched her nose like a foul odor had headed her way.
Scum is way too kind a word for what they're doing, she huffed. They're trying to ruin our town. And that's not happening on my watch.
Your watch? Sounds like you're kind of in charge of the crusade.
Which made sense if all his intel was right. The only thing that wasn't accurate was the gender of the Frankie in question. She shrugged.
Pretty much. Crossroads Cafe is ground zero for the Break Probst movement right now. We can't sit around and do nothing while they ruin our way of life.
And by ruining it, you mean...
He left the question open for her to fill in the blank so he could work on a strategy. It was pretty clear she would be a force to be reckoned with. Not that he couldn't reach his goal, but it wasn't going to be quite as easy as he'd anticipated. Another group of people entered the cafe. This place was hopping. Probst could make a fortune here. The food might not be as good when they took over, but then again, these folks wouldn't be around to miss it.
Frankie gestured to the group making signs. I'll give you the whole story later, but I've got to go. Things are getting out of hand.
Without a second thought, she started to move away until he grasped her hand. He had to get into her good graces and amp up the sexual foreplay.
Let me help you out.
He barely knew the woman and needed to tread slowly in his approach. She'd already turned him down for a date, so he had to figure out another way to ingratiate himself into her life for the next 24 hours. Hopefully that's all it would take. He kept his touch light, a mere grazing of his hand on hers.
Are you up for washing dishes?
Crap, washing dishes. He was hoping for something a little more up close and personal, but tried to keep the smile on his face when he nodded.
Sure.
I could use some help with the pots and pans. How does that sound to you?
I've always aspired to immerse my hands in a bunch of bubbles. Ideally, it would have something more to do with a bubble bath with an incredibly hot, dark-haired Italian woman. But I can work with this.
She barked a laugh.
Oh, you really are a charmer, aren't you?
She waved her hand.
Follow me, sucka.
He couldn't say he minded the view as he rose and walked behind her. Her ass was quite spectacular. There was that nice sway to her hips that could only be appreciated from this direction. From the front, he'd missed the perfect roundness with a hint of muscle encased in denim. He'd also missed the full impact of her hair, the curly mass of it that ran to the middle of her back in the most amazing display of femininity he'd seen in a long time.
While washing pots and pans wasn't a gotta-happen moment for him, solving the mystery of how to induce her to sell was on the top of
Sample complete. Ready to continue?